through the ministry that God has called our family into. And I am just so grateful to be able to just do something for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And I tell you, it's just a blessing to be able to be in the house of God this morning and just to be able to feel His presence. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 1. And I want to look at a very familiar text this morning. And you know, when you're in a preacher's fellowship, you know, it's sometimes you try to think, well, what can you say to preachers and challenge them? Because they already know everything. Somebody say amen right there. And but we want to try our best to be able to help you and encourage you with a thought from the Word of God this morning. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. Rest yourself for just a second as we look at this one verse of Scripture and then preach what God's laid on our heart. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses," the Bible says, "unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I want to just preach a thought this morning, and I hope and pray that it will be a challenge to your heart this morning as we look at the I must of missions this morning. The I must of missions. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God. And Father, we pray that, Lord, you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth. God, we thank you, Lord, for what Brother Travis already preached to our hearts this morning. Lord, helping us to learn something about bad decisions, Lord, that we can make. And Father, I believe that it's another bad decision, Lord, that if we decide that we are not going to go, Lord, with a missionary purpose in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, I believe that would be a bad decision. And so, God, we pray that, Lord, you would help us to grab a hold, Lord, of the importance of missions. And God, we pray that you'd help us to grab a hold, Lord, of the call that you have put on our lives. And Father, we just pray that you'd help us again, Lord, to be able to preach what you've laid on our heart. God, if there is anything whatsoever that is between you and I, Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd forgive me. God, I pray that you'd scrub me up. God, I pray that I would be a vessel meet for the Master's use. Father, I pray for Brother Brent as he gets ready to come and preach in a few moments. God, I pray that you would help him. God, I pray that you would touch him. God, I just pray that, Lord, your will would be done. Father, we need you this morning. And so, Father, we just pray that we wouldn't go through a series of sermons this morning, but God, we pray that, Lord, it would be life-changing for all of us in this place here this morning. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Help us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. There is no doubt in my mind that there is a spiritual warfare that has been raging since Pentecost. And the spiritual warfare, my friend, is the battle for God's glory among the nations. I want you to know that, listen, if Satan has done anything to our New Testament churches, my friend, he has attacked us in the area of missions. He has attacked us, my friend, in the area of being able to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that if Satan can lull the church of the living God to sleep, I want you to know, my friend, that listen, it will put a hurt on missions. And I want you to understand that this battle is exclusively a spiritual battle, if you will, that involves the church. And you say, preacher, why is that? I want you to understand, that God's glory being declared among the nations is only possible through missions and through world evangelism. Missions, I can tell you, is what Satan desires to stop. I want you to know by stopping it, he stops God's glory among all of the nations. And so we must ask ourselves here this morning, why do we put an emphasis on missions? Why do we put an emphasis between missions and between ministry this morning? One man said it this way, that there's a huge difference between ministry and missions. You say, preacher, what is it? Ministry is serving Christ. But missions, my friends, is sharing Christ. Amen. If ministry is serving Christ, then we have been saved to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But if missions is sharing Christ, then we have been saved, my friend, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that God wants all of us here this morning. God wants us to have a ministry in the church, if you will. But I also want you to understand He wants us to have a missions emphasis around the globe. Amen. I'm glad that God has given us the opportunity to be able to carry out of the New Testament local Bible-believing churches. God has given us the opportunity to be able to take a ministry and be able to help somebody come to know Christ. Amen. So all of us have a ministry out of the local church, but I want you to understand this morning that God wants you and I to have an emphasis on missions around the globe. I want you to understand that Satan is described in the Word of God. He is described as a thief. He is described as the ruler of the world, the god of this world, the beast, the prince, the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience, the devil, the evil one, if you will. There's all kinds of names that the Bible tells you and I that describe Satan, but I want you to understand that the reason why he exists this morning is because he has become an adversary of God, and he has become an adversary of the church of the living God, and he has become an adversary, my friend, in missions around the globe. I want you to know that the devil, or the word devil, comes from the Greek word diablos, which means to oppose, if you will. I want you to understand that, listen, the devil, he is opposed to the extension of God's church and the exaltation, if you will, of God's glory among the nations. There's no doubt and no question in my mind that the devil has one object that he is trying to fulfill. You say, what is it? He is trying his best to keep lost people lost. That's what he's trying to do. And we need to understand, my friend, that there needs to, that we need to be digging deeper, if you will, in the existence of missions to help us to understand that there is a world that is out there, not only in our communities, but there is a world around the globe that is lost without the Lord Jesus Christ and needs the Lord. Amen. And I want you to understand that we know this. We know this because of the sequences of events that characterizes the end times with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3, it says this, "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him," here it is, "that he should deceive the nations no more." You see, that's his job, and that's what he's doing. And the Bible tells you and I that at the end times, thank God, there's going to be a seal upon Satan, amen. And the deception that Satan has given, my friend, to the church of the living God, thank God, it will cease, hallelujah. I want you to know that word nations there is the Greek word ethnos. It is where we get our English word ethnic, if you will. And so from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 7 is going to be standing around the throne room of God. Amen. But I want you to know, thank God, hallelujah, that listen, the blacks, the whites, the Hispanics, the Puerto Ricans, the Germans, thank God, everybody, thank God, is going to have an opportunity to have the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. But the question that I've got is this morning, where are we at when it comes to our commitment to missions? The Bible tells you and I in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 19, it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." The Bible is indicating to you and I that the whole world literally is under the sway, if you will, of the wicked one. And so we have got a major task on our hands. If the world, my friend, is literally under the sway and the persuasion of Satan himself, and if he is the adversary of the church of the living God, then we must understand that God has given you and I a plan that we must implement in order to be able to see the world come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that in nations where Christ is not known, where the gospel has not penetrated and transformed, if you will, society to acknowledge the lordship of Christ, these nations, these cultures, these people who are going to continue to lie in darkness under the sway and the dominion of Satan himself. And since that is the case, there are some things that we must do. We don't have to sit around and scratch our head and try to figure out whether we need to do it or not. Whether we need to try to attempt to do this or not, no, there are some things that the Bible says that we must do. You say, preacher, if you're telling us that there's some things that we must do, is there things that Jesus went about and understood that he had to do himself? And I began to read through the Word of God and study this out a little bit. And I found out that in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 49, Jesus said this statement. He said, I must be about my Father's business. In Luke 9:4-43, he says, I must preach the kingdom of God. In Luke 13:33, he said, nevertheless, I must walk, he said, today. Luke 19:5, Brother Brent preached on this thought the other night. Luke 19:5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. John 9:4, the Bible says, and I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh and no man can work. Amen. So you see, Jesus understood that there were some things that He must do in His life. And so may I say to you, I want to reiterate this truth to us this morning. There are some things that we must do according to Acts chapter number 1 and verse 8. I want you to take a look at these four things very quickly, and then we're going to listen to Brother Brent. I want you to understand that we must first of all realize it and say this to ourselves, that I must function in God's missionary power. I must function in God's missionary power. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 1 and verse 8, the text says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I want you to understand here this morning that I understand that the Bible tells us that there are, or indicates to us, that there's over 8,800 promises that are found in the Word of God. And I want you to know that this is one of those promises that have been given to you and I in the Word of God. We have a tremendous promise here. The Lord Jesus tells you and I that as the child of God, you have at your disposal, thank God, the greatest power on planet Earth. And the Bible says that that power, thank God, comes from the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to know it is greater power than nuclear power, than gasoline, than electricity, than coal, than whatever else you want. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, that all things are upheld, the Bible says, by the word of His power this morning. Amen. And may I say to you, listen, that the problem, I can tell you, that with the average Christian is not that they don't have the power. The problem is, my friend, is they're not using the power that God has given to them in order to be able to win the loss with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to remember something that Jesus said in Matthew 28. Jesus said these words. He says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power there is the Greek word exousia. It is where we get our English word exercise from. It has been translated in our King James Bible in Matthew chapter number 28 and verse 18. As the Greek word exousia, it has been given to you and I as the word power, if you will. The word carries the idea Jesus was saying to you and I that He has the right to exercise all power and all authority on planet Earth and in heaven. Amen. And so we must understand that if that power, thank God, comes from God, and that power that the Lord Jesus Christ has been able to exercise, why in the world would you and I try to attempt anything apart from the power of God inside of our life? Well, I want you to know that missions is always an act of teamwork. Ministry is always an act of teamwork. You cannot accomplish ministry. You cannot accomplish missions based upon your own merit. Every believer has a partnership, thank God, to accomplish this mission task. And thank God that partnership is with the Holy Spirit of God. Now I want you to understand something about the Holy Spirit this morning. The text says here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, the text says, but ye shall receive power when? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now I want you to understand again, I want to reiterate the fact that the Bible says in Matthew 28 that all power has been given to God, whether it's in heaven or whether it is in earth. And it is the word exousia, to exercise the power, to exercise the authority. But this word power in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, oh, you say, is that the word exousia? Is it telling me here that we are going to receive power, that we too can receive exousia, that we will have the opportunity, the ability to exercise all power and all authority? No, it does not tell us that. That word power that is there is the Greek word dunamis. And we understand that we've heard it said before that is where we get our word dynamite from. It's carrying the idea here that after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, Thank God we can have explosive power, amen, in order to be able to win the loss for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something this morning. I look over here at this mixing board that I have here, and when I bought it, it was probably about $1,000 brand new. That mixing board has all kinds of capabilities in it. You can turn it on and it'll produce sound, it'll produce music, it's got all kinds of different effects in it to make your voice sound different. It's got all kinds of capabilities in it. But I want you to know there's a major problem with it. You say, what's the problem? The problem is that there's a wire that's running out of the back of this thing, and on the end of it, it's called a plug. And it doesn't matter how expensive this thing is. It doesn't matter what its capabilities are. It doesn't matter what it's able to do. The flaw is that unless that thing is plugged up, my friend, to a power source, it is never going to be able to accomplish what it is set out and able to do. Amen. I want you to know this morning, my friend, hey, if we've got the power of the Holy Ghost of God in our life, man, if we're plugged into what God has for you and I in our life, hey, there's no telling, my friend, what God would be able to do with a church, what God would be able to do with an individual, what God would be able to do, my friend, with somebody that is plugged into the Holy Ghost of God. No telling what God can do. You can have all kinds of... Listen, you might be able to sing, you might be able to preach, you might be the greatest church planter on planet Earth. But my friend, if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, hey, it is absolutely worthless this morning, amen, unless it's got the touch of God on your life. May I say to you this morning that, listen, we must understand that the Bible says in Acts 5:32, I love it, it says, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Again, if we're going to get involved in missions, if we're going to get involved, my friend, in the work of God, we must have the power of the Holy Ghost. It cannot be done apart from Him. Amen. I think about Larry Flint, the founder of Hustler magazine. He is no stranger to the pornographic empire. In 1977, a 60 Minutes producer introduced him to someone by the name of Ruth Carter Stapleton, a professing Christian and the sister of President Jimmy Carter. Soon afterwards, Larry Flint announced his conversion to Christianity, being discipled by Stapleton. He began speaking at churches and announcing his Christianity. But you see, I can tell you that time has revealed that the pull of the world literally was too much for Larry Flint. And I want you to understand that now, today, he is a devout atheist. You say, why is that? Because, my friend, you cannot operate the Christian life. You cannot just say a prayer and say, hey, I'm on my way to heaven. My friend, if the touch of the Holy Ghost does not convict you of your sin and show you exactly who you are, you can never live a Christian life apart from God Almighty. Amen. It is absolutely impossible this morning. Paul said these words in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ, thank God, that liveth in me. I want you to know that God can take and God can use your unique personality and the giftedness to bring people to the faith and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can use every solid one of us. I want you to know that, listen, to do it, you must function again in God's missionary power under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. So I want you to know that not only should you and I, that we must function under God's missionary power, but number two, I say that I must fulfill God's missionary purpose as well. I want you to notice this. I want you to notice that God's missionary power, Jesus goes on to say, ye shall be witnesses, He says, unto me. Now, incidentally, I want you to understand, and some of you may not have known this, but I want you to know that there is no, Brother Eddie, there is no plan B. There is no plan B when it comes to reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we are either going to be His witnesses or there will be no witnesses and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know the great missionary David Livingston said these words. He said, Christ alone can save the world, but Christ cannot save the world alone. Amen. I want you to know that we have got to be His hands. We have got to be His feet. We have got to be the mouthpiece, if you will, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody is called to teach. Not everybody is called to be an evangelist. Not everybody is called to be a pastor. Not everybody is gifted in the area of evangelism. But I want you to know that this text reminds you and I that every one of us have been called to be a witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 32 says this. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. I want you to know that the church must understand exactly who they are. We must understand this morning that, listen, that we are not salesmen. Somebody say amen. We are not salesmen using high-pressure tactics in order to be able to sell some type of product, if you will. I want you to know that, listen, you cannot strong-arm or argue, my friend, people into heaven. I want you to know that people may stand up and say these words, you're going to die or fry, you better turn or burn. I want you to know, my friend, that, listen, I'm just as strong about preaching against sin and letting people know that their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, they will split hell wide open. But I want you to know that the Bible tells you and I, in order to win the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not a sales pitch. It is not arguing people into heaven. The Bible says we are to be witnesses. We are to be witnesses of His grace. We are to be witnesses of His salvation. We are to be a witness, my friend, of what God has did in my life, in your life, in order to be able to help them to understand that their life can be turned around with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. I want you to know, as witnesses, we need to look what we have received and what we are responsible for. I want you to look in Romans chapter number 1 and verse 5. Hold your place in Acts 1:8. But I want us to read this verse together in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Romans 1 and 5. The Word of God says these words. The Bible says, by whom we have received grace. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Now get this. And apostleship, the Bible says, for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. You say, I'm an apostle? Is that what that word means there, preacher? Am I an apostle of Christ? That word apostleship there carries the idea or the meaning of a gift. I want you to know that it means to dispatch. It means to send forth. It also is the one that has been sent, in other words. I want you to know God has given you and I a gift, thank God, that we did not deserve. But I want you to know that when He gave us His grace, in doing so, my friend, we must understand that we have received a call, if you will, to be a gift to somebody else, to carry the gift, to be sent, to be dispatched, if you will, with a gift. Aren't you glad, thank God, that when we understand that God has given us and we have received His grace, we have received apostleship, the Bible says as well. In other words, we are responsible for taking and giving this gift out to those that are lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, why do I do that? Why do I do that? Why do I do that? I want you to know, we do it, my friend, because we are obedient to the faith. And we are obedient, my friend, to those among the nations of the world. Brother Ed Moore used to say years ago, Billy, you don't pick and choose where you serve. You just go serve as God calls you into that ministry. I want you to know that we must understand that not only should we function in power in fulfilling this purpose, but I also want to show you that I must follow God's missionary plan as well. I want you to know that Jesus did not only tell you and I what we are to do or how we are to do it, but I want you to know He tells you and I where we are to do it at. Amen. We don't have to sit around and scratch our head and say, where do I start serving at? God has given it very clear here in this text. You'll notice, if you will, first of all, we are to be missionaries in our community. That's the first place we're to start. The Bible says that we're to start and begin with Jerusalem. In other words, your personal community. I want you to understand that, listen, what He is saying here is that the first place that I want you to be a witness to is right there in your neighborhood. The very first place that I want you to be a witness is to the neighbors that are living on the side of you. those that are living around you, if you will, those that are in your neighborhood. It is where you live. Now, I'm so grateful that when I read this, thank God, it does not have to stop there. But it is giving you a starting point on where you and I can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that, listen, you don't have to go overseas to be able to get involved in missions. Somebody needs to say amen right there. I mean, you don't have to go overseas in order to be able to get involved in missions, my friend. The indictment, if you will, that you and I have here from the Word of God is that you and I must begin in our neighborhoods. I begin to think about some of the ministries that we could get involved in. I just jotted a few things down that you could do right here in your own community. You could have food ministries to local hospitals or to rescue missions. My brother David is mentoring a young man down at the public high school, where he is at. He goes by there once a week and he just spends about an hour with a young man trying to be able to mentor him from a broken home. It is a great way to be able to get involved in missions right in your local community. All of your church outreaches and ministries. Whatever is going on down at your local church, you ought to find somewhere that you can get plugged into and start practicing missions right outside of your local church. I think about Bible clubs that are found in many high schools. Our family has been involved over the years working with public high schools, being able to go to Bible clubs. And in fact, Pastor's been with me. We've been many times 7 o'clock in the morning going over to Morton High School, setting all this equipment up, and me and the girls and Pastor put on a full-blown concert for everybody who wants to come in. And we just sing and we preach and we tell them about God. And man, listen, it's a wonderful thing. That Bible club that is there in that local school, listen, it is the best way for you to be able to get into a secular school. Because as long as it is student-led and student-initiated, listen, if they can't stop the Bible club, if they're not going to stop the baseball team, if they're not going to stop the football team, if they're not going to stop the drama club, they cannot stop, thank God, the Bible club as well. Amen. And so it is an opportunity to be able to win students right there in your local community. I think about the National Day of Prayer teams that is going on all over. On May the 4th, I think it's May the 4th every year, is the National Day of Prayer. Wouldn't it be a great thing for you to be able to lead, take your church and be able to lead ministry teams throughout the community to let people know that, hey, this church is still all about prayer. That if we're ever going to have power in our pulpits, if we're ever going to have power in America, we've got to have prayer, thank God, that must be practiced in our lives. I think about writing letters to churches and missionaries. Encourage them by email, Facebook, Twitter, phone calls. Be able to just go by and pick a missionary letter and begin to encourage them to continue in the fight with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's a great way to get involved in your community. Someone has once said these words. He said, every Christian is a missionary on a mission field right where you live. I want you to know I was reading the book of Isaiah a few weeks ago and I came across chapter 54 and verse number 2. And there's a part of the text there that says, lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. Enlarge your tent, if you will. I want you to understand, my friend, that listen, as the missionary enlarges the tent, as the missionary grabs the cords, if you will, and begins to pull and begin to lengthen the cords. We understand, if you know anything about a tent, if you're going to set a tent up, the longer that those cords get, the deeper that those stakes have to be ran, the more support that needs to be in the middle. Well, I want you to know that as the missionary is taking those cords and running with those cords and trying to win the people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not time for the home base to fall apart. In fact, my friend, it is time for you and I to drive the stakes deeper. As Travis is trying to go with an international outreach, my friend, it's not time for you and I to be able to fold up shop. So oftentimes what happens in churches is people get upset. People get angry. People leave over the most frivolous things. And that, my friend, they have forgotten about the commitment that they made, thank God, to be able to support those missionaries that are around the world as they're stretching the cords. My friend, we should be driving the stakes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a second thing I see in the text here. He says that we are to be missionaries as well in Judea. This is representing our county or representing our state. We can have prevention programs. We can have jail ministries. I know of one church that was building ramps for handicapped people, contacting the state capitol to find out about programs that churches can get involved in order to be able to spread the gospel of Christ. And believe it or not, they're there. Peaceably standing up for biblical values in Indianapolis. I want you to know, my friend, that listen, I think it's important. I think so many times people say, well, we ought to stay away from politics. I want you to know, my friend, that listen, we, instead of politics and interjecting what the church ought to be doing, we ought to be taking the church and interjecting it, my dear friend, into the government and into society. Helping them to understand that when they try to pass abortion laws, we're going to be standing in Indianapolis, amen, to let them know that we disagree with it. Somebody say amen. I want you to know that I'm not talking about fighting. I'm not talking about rioting. I am talking about peaceably standing up for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that what about this? What about helping a small church in your state get back on its feet? Oh yeah, that'd be an awful good place to start. Think about a church we hear oftentimes. Boy, there's a church down the road. They split. Boy, they're having a hard time. They can't even keep up with their missionary budget. Everything's going great down at your church. My friend, you wouldn't cut them a check to save your life. Amen. Oh, it's quiet in here right now, but I'm having fun. How about you? Amen. What about trying to be able to reach out? Listen, could you imagine the Apostle Paul telling the church at Ephesus not to fellowship with the church at Colossae? They're having trouble down there, but hey, you guys just do your thing and they'll do theirs and you don't have to help them whatsoever. Amen. I want you, it's quiet, but I'm having fun. Amen. I want you to know that it's an opportunity for us to be able to take and to be able to spread the gospel of Christ. Oh, I think about the third thing he says. He says that we can go into our country, into our Samaria, supporting church planters in other states, especially those that are out west. I think about the city of Chicago. There are 3 million people living in the city of Chicago. You say, well, there's plenty of churches in the city of Chicago. I want you to think about this. 3 million people living in the city of Chicago right now. If we planted 1,000 independent Baptist churches in the city of Chicago alone, 1,000, and there were 300 people going to every one of those churches, which, by the way, that would be a pretty good size congregation, wouldn't we say amen? 300 people in each one of those churches, that's 300,000 people. There are still 2.7 million people that is in the city of Chicago that is not sitting in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. I want you to know that do you see it? The work is overwhelming. It drives me crazy when I talk to guys sometimes and they say, listen, the only thing that we're going to support is missions overseas. I was looking the other day and I found a statistic the other day that, listen, that right now, that missionaries that are coming from other countries, America right now is the third leading country right now in the world where people are coming from other countries and planting churches in America right now. Nobody would have ever imagined in 1904 and 1905, during the Welsh revival of 04 and 05, no one would have ever believed that place, that there are people sitting over there right now that has absolutely no idea whatsoever what took place in 04 and 05 during the Great Welsh Revival. Brother Gary was a missionary over there. He could tell you, we've been there 10 times. Our family has to work on mission causes. And I'm telling you, my friend, America is one step away. There are churches all over the place that are closing down. I've just found out about a church a few weeks ago in Ottawa, Tennessee, that was a thriving church. They have sold their building. They have closed up shop. You say, that's down south, that's a Bible Belt. That's exactly right. And my friend, listen, if it's going on down there, it is going to catch wind and catch fire right here in America. My friend, we must have a vision for America once again. I think about the Indian reservations. Excuse me. Our family's getting ready to go to the Indian reservation here in just a few weeks. We'll be taking a ministry team of over 40. Brother Travis Sharp is going with us as well. And I think about these people, my friend. I think about how there's so many places out west where there are not Baptist churches. Within miles and miles and miles, Baptist churches that need to be started and rooted, if you will, to win people for Christ. I think about these people. I think about missionary evangelists. Now, I could park right here for about an hour, amen, but I'm not going to. But I think about people like Brett. He and his family are traveling all over the country right now, trying their best to be able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, my friend, that there is a philosophy that is out there that an evangelist should not have any type of mission support whatsoever. But I want you to understand something, that if Brett goes and preaches 52 weeks out of the year and has $1,000 a week, that's $52,000 a year. Now you may say that's a pretty good job if somebody does that, but I want you to know by the time that that man pays his expenses, by the time that man, my friend, goes and tries to pay for his meals and sometimes has to pay for hotel rooms, I promise you he's going to be living under the poverty level. Somebody say amen right there. Well, nobody's going to say amen. That's okay, Brent. I tried. Amen, brother. But it's happening. And I want you to know, my friend, that listen, I think about evangelists that are going and traveling and preaching the Word of God. I think about people like Travis who are trying their best to reach people here in the United States. There's all kinds of areas. The fourth one is this, the continents. He says the uttermost parts of the world. One of the greatest things you can ever do for yourself and for your church is to take a mission trip overseas. Amen? I'm telling you, it will change your life. When you begin to see other cultures, when you begin to see what they're going through, listen, so oftentimes what we try to do is we try to go to a place like England, or we try to go to a place in Africa somewhere and we try to Americanize their culture. But I'm telling you something, it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. I promise you, you get a Hispanic from Mexico to walk into this church or any one of your fellow's churches and say, you know what, everything you're doing here is absolutely wrong. I'm going to tell you, my friend, you're going to throw that guy out of there as fast as you can. And I want you to know that a missionary that goes into a place around the globe and tries to Americanize their culture, I'm telling you, it's not going to work. We have got to try our best, my friend, to be able to take their culture and interject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into their culture in order to be able to win them. I want you to know that, listen, I find this in closing here. I find out that, listen, we must find God's missionary passion in our life. I was thinking about a young man that I read after. He got a job at a local theater. And they asked him this question. They said, while the film is going, they said, if this place catches on fire, what are you going to do? And the young man said these words. He says, oh, you don't have to worry about me whatsoever. He goes, I'll be able to get out, I promise. And I thought to myself when I read that story that too many and too oftentimes we have got our salvation settled. We know that we're going to heaven. We know that God has saved us and set us free, my friend, but we are not concerned about anybody else whatsoever. And it is the attitude of apathy that so oftentimes that we have in our churches. My friend, we must get back to the point that missions is so vitally important to our churches, that missions is the thing that is going to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know, listen, I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. What determines your passion in life? Somebody asked me that question here a while back. And I begin to think, what is it that determines my passion? What determines my passion is my priorities. Is my priorities. I want you to know that if my priority is about making money, then I want you to know making money is going to be my passion. I want you to know, my friend, that listen, if carelessness and apathy is a priority in my life, then I promise you, my friend, it is going to be a passion. So I want you to know that if you're looking, my friend, for ways to be able to help people come to Christ, I say go back to the book one more time and realize that God has given you and I a chance to be able to win others. Here's the thing we must understand. When you make people your priority, then, my friend, people is going to be your passion. When you make them your priority, they will be your passion. So these two questions we must ask ourselves. What is it that motivates us in getting going for God? What will motivate you to see this great need to get involved in missions? I want you to know, my friend, that the question is right here before us tonight or this morning. But I want to ask you this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed for just a second as Brother Eddie's getting ready to come. I wonder here this morning if you're here and you may say to me, preacher, you know what? Sometimes I don't think of missions like I need to. Sometimes in my life, I just kind of just going about my business and forgetting that there's all kinds of people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. Pray that God will raise my awareness in missions. Pray that God will give me that burden and that passion to be able to do something for Christ. If you're like that this morning, would you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me." A few hands going up this morning. Thank God. Somebody else, thank you. Somebody else. "Preacher, pray for me that missions would ever be in the forefront of my heart and my mind." Thank you. Somebody else. Father in heaven, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for letting my voice get through this. God, I just pray that, Lord, you'd bless in these few moments. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen.